All right, Shabbos, good morning. I'm going to begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Elul, Ed and Faith Wolf, and family for dedicating the shiurim this month in memory of our beloved father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, Cyrus Wolf, Shalom Ben Tzvi Hirsch, Zichron Levracha. To thank our Week of Learning sponsors, Joe and Galia Berry, in honor of their 43rd wedding anniversary and successful Aliyah 3.5 years ago. And our Dafyomi sponsors for today, David and Roberta Schwartz, for the honor of the night turning into the day and nursing. Let us all continue to nurse as a collective, gaining much nourishment and knowledge and good health with our entire shiur as we walk now on our own. Such a beautiful, beautiful dedication. If you get it, that means you come to the Reb Tzaddik shiur. If you don't get it, you need to start coming earlier. So I'll say, thank you for that, that beautiful dedication. And I'll say with that, let us begin. So today's daf is Chav Hei 25, and we are picking up in Meretz Hashem on Chav Dalal Amud Beis 24b. We're picking up with the last three lines. Actually, you know, the fourth line from the bottom, last round lines. Well, remember again, we left off yesterday with a really interesting case of the Rachba. Remember again, we had a Mavui that extends, you say, I had Rosh Hasharabim, that a Mavui comes off of that, extends into a Rachba, a large, what we call like backyard area. That backyard area, I call it backyard, but a large enclosed area. That area then goes into a shvil shel kramim, then goes ahead and goes into a pathway in between vineyards, which then dead ends into a river. So we're discussing the entire process as to which you can go ahead and carry from and carry around in the rachba. What do you have to do? So what we ended up with yesterday is, what you do is you just put a lechi by the entranceway, or really by the inside part of the mavui. So remember again, the mavui in question had a tzuras ha-pesach. So it has a tzuras ha-pesach on the area which faces the Rosh Hasharabim. You put a lechi on the part of the mavui that comes up to the rachba, and because that lechi is matir, the mavui is also matir the rachba. That's how we left off yesterday. So the Gemara says hilchach, therefore, tiltuli b'masa gufa shari. So therefore, we'll say in this case, you are definitely permitted to carry inside of the mavui. Right? Why is that? Because now remember again, the mavui, although this is what we call a mavui mafulash, it has a mavui open on both sides. It's not a problem, because on one side, the area facing the shrabim you have is tzuras ha-pesach, and on the area facing the rachba, you have a lechi. So no problem carrying in the mavui. Right? Berachba gufa shari. So too, again, you could go ahead and carry in the rachba. Why can you carry in the rachba? Because we'll say it's enclosed, and now it utilizes that lechi as well. So the Gemara says, what about carrying from the mavui to the rachba and from the rachba to the mavui? What's the halacha there? So pligi barav acha v'ravina. So we'll say that is the subject of a machlokes. Chad aser, one said it is prohibited, the chad shari, and one said it is permitted. So the Gemara says top of chafei man de shari, the one who says it's permitted, the haleka di urin, because there's no one living in the rachba. So because there's no one living in the rachba, there is no one to go ahead and cause any kind of iser for the residents of the mavui. So we'll say, right, remember again, we'll see this develop more and more, but Allah Chalamai says, really only the presence of different domiciles that creates a need to join into an Eruv, but because no one's living in the rachba, therefore they don't interfere with the usage of the B'nai Mavui, and therefore you can carry from the Mavui into the rachba. Uman da Asr, the one who says that it is Asr, if you look at Rashi, Tap Rashi and Chav Hei, Deles Lehu Diurin, Deles Bo Diurin, Sheyasru al B'nai Mavui, Hilchach Rishus B'nai Mavui Hu, U'B'nai Shevi'a Lo Asru Allah, Dehavi Kechatzer Ketanesh Nefres Al Gedolos. We'll say, the idea over here is, since there's no one living in the rachba, therefore we view the rachba almost like as an extension of the mavui. Therefore, once you're allowed to carry in the mavui, you can carry from the mavui to the rachba and vice versa as well. Uman da aser, the one who says that you cannot carry from the mavui to the rachba, will say, zinnin da havi ba diurin va asi little tule. Sometimes, ultimately, there will be people who end up dwelling inside of the rachba, and because if they were to go and dwell inside the rachba, you would have to make some type of eruv. Therefore, even if there's no one there, we're concerned someone may come to live there, and therefore you cannot carry from the rachba to the mavui. Karfeif, so we'll say, fine. Karfeif, yosem, ibis, asem, shloko, fladira. Listen to this, we'll say, next case. I have a karfeif that is more than two base sa'a. Shelo hukaf ladira. it was not enclosed for residential purposes. So we'll say, so remember again, this is the case that's always problematic for us. Right? So a karpeif more than two beisa, which was not enclosed for residential purposes. Uba lemato. So I'll say so again. So what do I want to do? Ultimately, again, I want to enclose it. I want to enclose it. And ultimately, again, be able to carry inside of it. So, but I will say, here's the problem. The problem, it is larger than two base saw. It's larger than two base saw. Sa'ai sa'alocha l'maysa. Sa'alocha l'maysa. What do I do? So the Gemara says, Uba l'mato, miyato bi'ilanos. Ultimately, again, if I go ahead and I diminish the area with trees, lo havi miyut. So we'll say that's not a good miyut. And we'll say, remember again, essentially in order to go ahead and diminish the space, what do you have to do? You have to make the area, well let's work backwards. If you go ahead and you choose to diminish the space by planting trees, so ultimately, again, that is not going to work. Why is it not going to work, Abosai? Because trees, as we saw in yesterday's daf, do not diminish the mavui area. Right? Sorry, do not diminish the karpeif area. Why not? Because since trees, people walk around trees, right? They live amongst trees. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, it's still called a domicile area. However, bana ba'amud gavoa asav rachav dalid, but if you go ahead and you build a platform that is 10 tfachim high and 4 tfachim wide, havi miyut. So we'll say that, remember, those are the dimensions of a self-sustaining rishus. So essentially, if you were to go ahead and build a platform that is 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, and that occupies space, that space could diminish the size of the karfeif. And if you're able to go ahead and bring it to under 2 base sa'ah, we're in business. Pachos migimol lo havi miyut. But ultimately, again, if the amud, if the pillar is less than 3 tefachim, then ultimately, again, it's not a miyut. Because you must remember, again, anything under 3 tefachim in halacha is viewed as what? Is viewed as what? As if it doesn't exist. Right? That's the halacha of lavud. Right? That's really where if you find two items that are less than 3 tefachim away from each other, we view them as if they are combined. However, the Gemara says, migimel va'adalid, what happens if the pillar is between 3 and 4 tefachim wide? So Rabba says, havi miyut. Rabba says, it works. It works, it will diminish the space. Rava Amar lo havi miyut. Rava says it's not, it won't work. So Rava Amar havi miyut. So Rava says it'll work. Why? The hanafik le mitoras lavud. Because Rava says as long as you get past 3 tefachim and you're past the threshold of lavud, then ultimately again you could be reckoned as a separate independent entity. Rava Amar lo havi miyut. Rava says it is not a miyut. Why? Kivan de lo havi makom dalad lo chashiv. If it is not 4 tefachim, then by definition, it is not considered to be a makom chashuv. So we'll say, so what comes, so just to understand what's happening over here, because we're going to see this theme in a couple of cases. I have an area larger than 2 base sa'ah. I want to bring it under 2 base sa'ah so that I have the ability to go ahead and be makif it, to go ahead and enclose it. So we're trying to figure out how can you go ahead and successfully diminish the size of your karfeif. So remember again, so trees out of the question, that won't work. But if I put a pillar that essentially has the dimensions of a different rishus, then halacha lemaisa that'll work. So everybody agrees if it's 4 tefachim high, 10 tefachim wide, 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, that diminishes space. What happens if it's not 4 tefachim wide, but it's between 3 and 4? So that's a machlokis. One opinion says as long as you've left the domain of lavud, then that's good enough to operate as a different rishus. Other says, no, it's not a rishus until it gets to the domain of 4 tefachim. We'll say the Rambam happens to paskin that as long as halacha lemaisa it is wider than 3 tefachim and it's left the parsha of lavud, that is enough for it to go ahead and be reckoned as something of significance, and it would diminish the space of the karfeif. Next, hirchik mina kosel dalav asa mechita. So this is a very interesting case. Same thing. I want to go ahead and diminish the area of my karfeif. That's what I'm trying to accomplish over here. I want to diminish the area of my karfeif. So we'll say, so what do I do? Let's say there's already an enclosure around the karfeif. So I have a very simple idea. I'm just going to build another fence. I'm going to build another fence. I'm going to distance that new fence from the old fence, thereby enclosing a smaller area. So the Gemara says, Hoyel. So I'm sorry, Hamarchik min hakosel dalet. So as long as you go ahead and you distance the new fence from the old fence for tefachim, you're good. you're good. However, pachus mi gimalo hoil. But I will say, if you only distance the new fence from the old fence less than three tefachim, it doesn't work. Why? We know this. Why? Lavud. Because I will say again, if the new fence is within three tefachim of the old fence, then we view the new fence as being attached to the old fence. Mi gimel va'adalid. What happens if halacha lemaisa again? It's between three and four tefachim. In other words, the new fence, Rabbi Osai, is more than three, but less than four tefachim from the old fence. Rabba Amar Hoil. Rabba says it works. Rabba Amar Inamol. Rabba says it doesn't. Rabba Amar Hoil. Rabba says it works. Why? Danafik lemi toras lavud. Because as long as the new fence is more than three tefachim away from the old fence, then you're good to go, right? It's no longer subject to lavud. We're good. Rava Amar Inamol. Rava Amar says, no, it doesn't work. Why? Kevan de lo havi makum dalid lo chashiv. So we'll say, this is very interesting. Rava will say a mechitza is only significant if it encloses an area of dalid tfachim or more. So we'll say, so therefore it doesn't enclose an area of dalid tfachim or more, that's not called a mechitza. So we'll say, this is very interesting. So essentially, the machlokes is, what makes a mechitza mechitza? So according to Rava, According to Rabba, halacha lemaisa, as long as it's not lovered, as long as it's not attached, the old mechitza is considered to be a new mechitza and would diminish the area. According to Rabba, a mechitza is only a mechitza if it encompasses an area of at least four tefachim. Since this does not encompass an area of four tefachim, therefore it is not good. So just so you should know, in all of these cases, we're going to see the Rambam paskins lekula. In all of these cases, again, he's mekel, which also makes sense because karfeif to begin with is a din derabanan. So again, like in this case, the Rambam does say that halacha lemaisa, as long as the new mechitza is more than three tefachim away from the old one, it works to diminish the size of the mechitza. Rav Simi masni lekula. Rav Simi, he paskin in all of these cases, I will say, that halacha lemaisa lekula. All of these cases leniently, which is the way the Rambam paskins as well. Tachbo tet, Rav Simi, isn't this interesting case? So now, all these are the same cases, which is, I have a karpet that's too big, and I want to diminish. I want to bring it in under to base saw. So we're devising different ways in which you could diminish the area of the karfeif. So for example, in this next one, tachbotit, which means I have a wall. So we'll say, so what I do is, if you can imagine, I place an extra layer of mortar, plaster on the wall, thereby increasing the thickness of the wall. When I increase the thickness of the wall, I will say, what else do I do? What do? I diminish the size of the karfeif. So does this work? Tachbotit, v'yachol lama b'fnei atzmo, havi miyot. So we'll say, if the extra coating of plaster is so thick that even if the wall were to be removed, the plaster would remain standing, then halacha lemaisa, again, that works to diminish the size of the karfeif. In yachol lama b'fnei atzmo, what happens if the plaster could not, the new layer of plaster could not stand on its own? Rabba avar havi miyot, Rava amar lo havi miyot. So Rabba says, it works to diminish the size of the karfeif. Rava says it does not. Rabba Amar Havi Miyut. Rabba says that it works. Hashtam Yakai. I will say, who cares if the plaster could stand on its own? Right now it's there, and it's actually going ahead and eating up space. That's the goal, to eat up space. So as long as it's eating up space, whether it can or can't stand on its own, it's totally irrelevant. Rava Amar Lo Havi Miyut. Rava says it's not a miyut. Why? Kevan de lo yachol lemeka mifnei asmo lo klomu. Rava says, I will say, it only takes on the identity of a wall, right? If halach lamaisa could stand, but if this extra layer of plaster would not be able to stand on its own, then it does not have the ability to diminish the area of the karfeif. So machlokes, hirchik minat hel dalid va'asa mechitza. So let's listen to this. If you can imagine, at the edge of the karfeif, I have a mound of earth. Now remember again, a mound of earth also acts as a natural mechitza, right? As long as you have a height of 10 tefachim over a span of 4 amas, that goes ahead and creates a natural mechitza. So I'll say, so again, same case. I want to diminish the size of my karfeif. So what do? I'm just going to bring the fence in. So I erect a new mechitza, a new fence, 4 tefachim away from the mound of earth. Hoil, it works. Everybody agrees it works. Pachos migimel. What happens if you go ahead and you make the mechitza less than three tefachim away from the ground or on the edge of the mound? So Rav Chista, Rav Hamnuna, Machlokes, Chad Amar Hoil, one says it works, Chad Amar Lo Hoil. Tistayim Rav Chista Amar Hoil. So it would appear that Rav Chista is the opinion who says that in fact making the mechitza more than three but less than four right? More than three, unless, I'm sorry, pachos mi gimel, this, I'm sorry, it's a different case. If I make it less than three or on the edge of the mound, so the Gemara wants to suggest that it's Rav Chisda who says that it works. How so? Ditmar, because so the Gemara brings another case. Ditmar, ha'osa mechitza, gabi mechitza, was we actually alluded to this yesterday. If a person puts a mechitza on top of an already existing mechitza, what's the halacha? Amar Rav Chisda, b'shabbos hoil, by Shabbos it works. To put a mechitza on top of another mechitza, for Shabbos, ultimately, again, it will work. Others will say, you can enclose an area with a mechitza on top of a mechitza. However, b'nichse hager lo kana. But say, this is fascinating. We're talking about the following situation. Imagine for a moment a person converts and he dies with no children. Dies with no children. We'll say, so in general, you know, the halachas of Yerusha say, you always have, everybody always has a relative. Right? In other words, now, the relative may be very distant, but everyone always has someone who they are related to. The one exception to that rule is a ger, person who converts and dies without children. When he dies, is a possibility that he could have no existing relatives. So the shaila, of course, becomes what happens with his property. So we'll say his property effectively becomes hefker. Hefker, which means the first person who comes along and performs some type of kinyan or proprietary act, ultimately goes ahead and acquires the property. So the Gemara says over here that the act of putting a mechitza on top of an already existing mechitza will work for Shabbos purposes to enclose an area, but will not work for acquiring the property of a ger. In other words, if you want to acquire the karka of a ger, you have to do mamish an act of chazaka. Putting a mechitza on top of an already existing mechitza will not work. So the Gemara says, Rav Shesha Samar, af b'Shabbos nami lo hoil. And Rav Shesha says, by Shabbos it won't work as well. So ultimately, you're going to say, what do you see? Tistayim. So ultimately, Rav Shesha, but what you do see over here is that Rav Chisda is the one who said that mechitza gabi mechitza works for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda, umodili Rav Shesha. And Rav Sheshes will agree with me. Shivasa mechitza ala tel shehoil. Then I will say, if you make a mechitza on a mound of earth, that such a mechitza will in fact be effective. My time, what's the reason? Hoil uba avir mechitzas hal yonos udar. So I will say, interestingly enough, if you go ahead and you make a mechitza on a mound of earth, so Rav Chisda wants to suggest everybody will agree that such a mechitza is effective. Why? Because we will say, what does that mechitza allow for? That if somebody's living on the mound, right, the mechitza ultimately, again, allows you to utilize the airspace contained within. So what the mechitza does is by creating a wall on the mound, it allows you to use the area more effectively within the mechitza itself. So we'll say, the Gemara is just suggesting that even those who hold that mechitza gabi mechitza is not really effective for purposes of creating enclosures on Shabbos, a mechitz on top of a mound is effective, for it allows for greater usage of the airspace of the mound. By Rabbi Barbachana, Nivlo mechitzas hatachtonos va'al yonos kayamos ma'am. Supposed to listen to this. So now, we just saw a machlokes regarding mechitza agabe mechitza. So we'll say, right, if you go ahead and you put the partition on top of a mechitza on top of a mechitza, is it effective for Shabbos or not? So remember, there are actually two cases where ultimately, again, there's a discussion of its effectiveness, right? Possibility number one is in the case of Shabbos. Possibility two is in the case of Nichse Hager, right? Those are the two areas in question. So now asks Rabbi Barachana, we'll say, so imagine the following case. You put a mechitza on top of a mechitza. That's what you did. We'll say, now what happens? The bottom mechitzas sink into the ground. Now we'll say, now at this point in time, Baruch Hashem, you have the upper mechitzos. So the shaila is, what's the effectiveness of those upper mechitzos? So says the Gemara, so niflu mechitzos hatachronos valyonos kamos mahu. What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, what's the halacha? Lemai, what are you asking about? Ile nechse hager, hainu diyim yabira. So we'll say, if you're talking about, So again, listen to this case right now. So there are mechitzas around a particular area. I come along and I put a mechitza on top of the mechitza. So the Gemara is now asking, is my act effective? So we'll say, so now what happens? Now, as time goes on, the bottom mechitzas sink into the ground to the point that, let's assume that they're gone. Now the only mechitzas which remain are what? The upper mechitzas that I put on there. So the Gemara is asking, do the upper mechitzas become effective? The Gemara says, effective for what? If you're talking about Nechse Hager, right? If you someone say, so maybe you're asking like this. So we'll call him Ruvain. Ruvain the Ger died. He had no relatives. I came along, and as soon as he died, I'd put a mechitza on top of his mechitza. So everybody's agreeing that mechitza on top of mechitza for Nechse Hager is not going to work. What happens now when the bottom mechitzas sink and all that's left are my mechitzas? Do I now acquire the Nechse Hager because my mechitzas are now significant? So the Gemara said, well, that's the case of Yirmiyahu Bira. The Amar of Yirmiyahu Bira, Amar of Yehuda, Haiman de Shada Lifta, Apila de Ara, the Ger. So let's listen to this. If a Ger dies, he has no Yarshim. I come to his field, and what do? I throw a turnip in. I throw a turnip into the field. And the turnip, either it rolls in or I have good aim, it falls into a crack in the field. And then what happens? Va'asi Yisrael Achrina Rafak Ba'porta. Then another Jew comes along. And I will say he goes ahead and plows the field or shovels some dirt on top of the turnip. So I'll say, then what happens? So if my, so the turnip grows, what's the halacha? Basrakani Kamalokani. The second Jew acquired the property, the first Jew did not. Right? Why? My taima. Because we'll say when the first Jew threw the turnip into the crack in the ground, nothing of substance occurred. The land was not improved. So we'll say the way to go ahead and acquire karka is to perform some type of proprietary act, chazaka, or some type of shevach, somehow improve the land. So when I throw the turnip in and the turnip rolls into a crack in the ground, I haven't done anything. The second Jew who comes along and, let's say, covers the turnip with dirt or plasma, he's done something. And even though if the second Jew would not have come along, it's possible that maybe the turnip would have grown, that improvement to the earth is not attributed to me, but rather we view that as if it's happening on its own. So Rabbo say, we can't be asking about mechitza ga mechitza for nechse hager, because even if the first mechitza sunk into the ground, and now my second mechitza has become significant, that significance occurred de facto. In other words, I didn't do anything for that. That kind of just happened. It appears that to acquire nechse hager, like to acquire kark in general, you have to do something thoughtful, right, and something active. Elola in Shabbos. Rather, we're asking for Shabbos purposes. Habib said, Gemara says, so we'll say, so now what does it mean? I put a mechitza on top of a mechitza. So we just said before, the mechitza gai mechitza doesn't mean anything, right? It's insignificant, lagabi Shabbos. So we'll say, so now what happens? I put a mechitza on top of a mechitza. The first mechitza sunk into the ground. And then ultimately, again, now my mechitzas are significant. So do my new mechitzas work for Shabbos? So the Gemara says, have a mechitza on Asab Shabbos. Well, here's a problem, because now that is a mechitza that was made on Shabbos. V'tanyo, kol mechitza on Asab Shabbos, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezit, shma mechitza. And we learned, any mechitza made on Shabbos, whether b'shogeg or b'mezit, is called a mechitza. Right? They both say, if at the end of the day, you have a mechitza which is made on Shabbos, halacha lemaisa, it works. Lavit mara'ala, amar Rav Nachman lo shanu ela lizrok. But Rav Nachman commented on that. He said, when does the mechitza work? Well, I said, the mechitza works to make you liable. That if you throw an object from a Rosh Sarabim into this area with the mechitza, you'll be chayiv. But lemaisa, that mechitza which occurs on its own on Shabbos, or that mechitza which is made on Shabbos, does not permit you to carry in the area. Ki itmar Rav Nachman, when did Rav Nachman say that? Amazed itmar. So also Rav Nachman said about mazid. Rav Nachman said, inachinami, if you go ahead and you have a mechitza that you intentionally made on Shabbos, then inachinami, that will not work to allow you to carry. It'll work so as to allow you to go ahead and be chayiv for throwing from one or another, but not for carrying. So we'll say, so I just want to point out what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is as follows. So first of all, halacha lemaisa, we're going to get into the Nechse Hager in just a little bit, but the Gemara is dealing with this really fascinating case of mechitza gabe mechitza. So everyone will agree, or appears everybody, almost everybody agrees, that in the case of mechitza gabe mechitza for laying in Shabbos, that act of putting a mechitza on top of another mechitza is a meaningless act. The only time there's potential for it to become meaningful is when you do mechitza on mechitza, then what? The bottom mechitzas sink into the ground. Now, my upper mechitza is meaningful. So the shail is, does that work or not? So Rabot says, so interestingly enough, That then gets into the question of mechitza hanase b'Shabbos. What in general is the halacha of a partition that is made on Shabbos itself? So that appears to be subject to some machlokes, and it appears the klusha of the Gemara is, if it happened b'shogeg or on its own, it's usable. It's usable even to carry. If, however, again, it was made intentionally, then it's only a mechitza for, we'll call it, punishment purposes. In other words, it'll make you chayiv if you carry if you throw something from one domain to another, or carry something from one domain to another. But Lamai said, it will not permit you to go ahead and carry in that enclosed area. Hayi isisa, well, as I said, an interesting case by Nechse Ager. Hayi isisa, there was a woman, the of the mechitza guy mechitza with Nechse Ager. So we'll say, here's the case. So Reuven the Ger died, he left behind no children, but he did leave behind property. So a woman came along, and what did she do? She put the mechitza on top of the mechitza that was already surrounding the property of the ger. She did a mechitza, got a mechitza to acquire the property. Also gavra, then another Jew came along, rafak baporta, and he plowed the land a little bit. Also the kamei dranach, supposedly now they had a machlokis, this lady and this man, about who owned the property of the now deceased ger. Also kamei dranach, min ukma biadei. So what happens, Rav Nachman ruled, the property belongs to the second guy. The one who went ahead and did a little bit of the plowing and field, he gets it. Us, the Gemara, listen to this. The Gemara says, Asas ihi vikat savcha kame. The woman got very angry. So she came and she started screaming, yelling at Rav Nachman, what are you doing? Right? What are you doing? Again, I'm going to put the mechitza on mechitza there first. Amr Allah, he said to her, "My avid lecha, what could I do for you? Dolo mechazakta kid mechazki inshi. You did not perform a chazaka as people properly perform chazaka." So we'll say ultimately again. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman telling her, "I'm sorry, I can't help you because mechitza gai mechitza is not a valid form of acquisition when it comes to nichse hager." Good. So we'll say, by the way, it's not just nichse hager, it's ultimately, it's chazaka on karka, right? Meaning at the end of the day, what the Gemara is saying over here is that in order to acquire karka, you have to perform a chazaka. Chazaka is some type of proprietary act, right? You have to go ahead and, so the idea over here is that you have to do something demonstrative of ownership, which some way somehow improves the land. It could be a very minute thing, like plowing a little bit of land. But Lamaisa, putting a partition on top of a partition does not work. Karfeif base shalosh, the kirabo base sa. This is an interesting case. So I have a karfeif that is three base sa. I will say, now what happens? I want to diminish that area to under two base sa. So I have a great idea. What do? I roof one base sa. I put a roof on top of one sa'ah of area, one base sa'ah, thereby going ahead and diminishing the open area. So we'll say, so does that work? So Rava Amar, Avir Kiyura of Miyasro. So Rava essentially says, you know, that doesn't work. The fact that you roofed one base sa'ah doesn't remove that one base sa'ah from the total square footage, square amas of the field, that's still looked at as a karfeif of more than three base dollars, that essentially the roof does nothing. So listen to this. Rabbi Zera Amar, Ein Avir Kiruyav Miyasra. So we'll say, on the other hand, Rabbi Zera says, no, in fact, the roofed area is reckoned separately from the rest of the karfeif. And Rabbi said, the way you view it halachically is how, since you have one area of one base saw and another area of what? Two base saw. So the Gemara says, what are they arguing about? Lema Rava Rabbi Zera beplukta Rava Shmuel kameflagi. So must say that Rav and Rabbi Zera are arguing regarding the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. We'll say, watch this. It's actually quite fascinating. The Itmar, Achsadra bebika. We'll say, Achsadra is like a gazebo. Right? You have a large gazebo in the valley. So we'll say, so what happens? Rav Amar mutla talta bekula. So we'll say, now this gazebo is a roofed gazebo. So Shaila is, I have this gazebo, this enclosed gazebo. And when I say enclosed, what has it? It has a floor and it has a roof. No walls. So I say, so the Shaila is, can I go ahead and carry in this area? So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Mutla Talta Bekula. Rav says, yes, you can carry in the entire gazebo. Shmuel says, no, you can only carry in Dalet Amas of the gazebo. Says the Gemara, so last two lines, Chaf Hamad Aleph, Rav Amar Mutla Talta Bekula. Rav says, you can carry throughout the entire area. Rav says, why is that? Amrinan, P. Tikra Yerivizos. So we'll say, an amazing halacha la Moshe Mitzrayim, which is pitikri over says it means of osai. When you have a roof, we view the edge of the roof as extending downwards, creating a halachic wall, enclosing the area all around it. So Rav says, listen to this. So Rav says, when you have a gazebo that has essentially, when I say gazebo, by the way, essentially what we're talking about over here is like just a roofed area. So when you have a roofed area, in halacha, the way we view it is, each edge of that roof extends downward to create the mechitza. Therefore, you can carry inside of that entire roofed area, because what we call pitikra, literally again, the edge of the ceiling, the edge of the roof, yoreit descends, visosin, and encloses. Ushmul Amar Shmuel says, no, ein metaltlin ela ba'arba amas lo arminan pitikra yoreit visosim. Shmuel disagrees with this concept. And Shmuel says, we do not say pitikra yoreit visosim. We'll see what this machlokes is in a little bit greater depth later on. But this is the machlokes. So the Gemara says, I da'avida, so we'll say, so again, the Gemara therefore wants to suggest as follows, that this machlokes Rav and Shmuel is the same machlokes Rava and Rabbi Zeira, right? That ultimately, again, Rava holds, we don't say pitikra yoreit visosim. Therefore, if also remember again, let's go back to our original case. I have a karfef that is three base sa'ah, too big. So what do I want to do? I roof one base sa'ah. My intention is being the roofed area should be reckoned as its own karfef, and therefore I have another karfef of two base sa'ah. Rava says it doesn't work, and Rava says it does not work, and Rabbi Zeira says it does work. The Gemara wants to suggest Rava holds that it doesn't work. Why? Maybe he, like Shmuel, he says, we don't say pitikra v'sosim. We don't say the edge of the roof extends downward. Versus Rabbi Zeira, who says that it does work, will ultimately say pitikra v'sosim, to which the Gemara says, Amud Beis, I da'avida ki achsadra hachinami. So we'll say, in hachinami, if our case was like the Achsadra case, it would work. What does that mean? What's the problem? What's the case? The Avda, Ki, or Zila. We'll say, what's the case? The case in our Mishnah, in our Braisa of the Karfeif, is a case where the one base Sa'ah is covered with a sloped roof. So Rabbi said, there is one very important caveat. Even if you hold Pitikar Yard Visosim, right? Even if you say the edge of the roof extends downward to create an enclosure, to create a wall, that's only on a flat roof. I will say that this is part of the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim. It's only with flat roofs. If you have a sloped roof, no one says pitikra v'sosim. Therefore, I will say the Gemara wants to suggest that it could be that the case of the Mishnah, I'm sorry, the case of the Braisa of the three base sa'ah, and you roof one base sa'ah, the reason why that would not work, according to one opinion, is because it is a sloped roof. So it could be that everyone agrees with pitikra yoreit v'sosim. Just the roof in question in our karfef case is not subject to that halacha. Okay? The Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Zeira. So the Gemara says as follows. Umodina, the karfef shenifrats b'milo, l'chatzar, sha'asar. So listen to this case. And everyone will agree, that if you have a karfef that is two base, as well, this is an interesting case. I have a karfef that is two base saw, which is good. And then I will say, what happens? That karfef is adjacent to a chatzar. Now, what happens? The wall of the karfef falls down, so that now the karfef opens totally into the chatzar. That's the karfef shenifrats b'milu l'chatzar, sha'asar. That you can no longer go ahead and carry in that karfef. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Shenifrats b'milo l'chatzar. Sha'avir chatzar miyasro va'oseo yosri mebeis asayim va'asar v'gabi kiroi desharina mishum pitikra. Listen to this. So listen to this case. I have a karfef that is adjacent to a chatzar. The wall in between the karfef and the chatzar falls down. The Gemara is suggesting over here that everyone will agree that you cannot carry in the karfef. Why not? Because now halachically we're viewing this as if it is a karfef that is more than two base sa'ah. How is it more than two base sa'ah? Because we view the area of the chatzar as adding on to the karfef itself. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? My time, ho'il va'avir chatzar miyasro. So since the area of the chatzar now is open to the karfef, we view the area of the chatzar as being added onto the karfef. And Rabbi will say, what do you have? You have a karfef that is more than two base sa'ah. So maskev for Rabbi Yosef, that doesn't make any sense. V'chi avir hamutr lo oso. So we'll say, could it be that airspace that is mutter to the karfef would now go ahead and prohibit it. Rabbi says, now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi just a moment. V'chi avir ha-mutar lo-osro. Rashi says, v'arichatzer zu mitchila, ha-isam mutaris la-takalim, and al-karfev, krib shimin, v'achshav shenifratz la-mokom ha-mutar lo-nasar lo-mishum yitir. So let's listen to this. As we're going to see, the Gemara says, there's an opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon holds that, remember, chatseros, gagos, karfifios are all one rishos for Shabbos. So I don't understand. When the wall was up, there's no problem to carry in between the karfif and the chatser. Now that the wall is down, so we view that extra area of the chatser as being part of the karfif and therefore asering transport in between the two rishos, it doesn't make any sense. Omle Abaye Kiman, whose opinion are you trying to put forward over here? Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, like we just said before, that halach lemaisa, Rabbi Shimon holds that a karfev, a chatzar, are all one area. To which the Gemara says, one second, Rabbi Shimon nami ha'ika avir makam mechitzas. Oh, Bosei, listen to this. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, there isn't ishra, Bosei. Think about this, very interesting. So imagine you have a karfev, and the karfev shares a wall with the chatzar, right? So the chatzar is on one side of the wall, the karfev is on the other side of the wall. What's happened in this case? The wall came down. So now the shaila is, what's the impact now on the karfif? So you wanted to say, oh, you can't carry the karfif anymore. Why? Because the karfif now is viewed as a karfif of more than two base sa. Essentially, we look at the area of the chatzar as if it's now part of the karfif, and now you have more than two base sa, therefore I can't carry it. To which the Gemara says, once again, it doesn't make sense. According to Rabbi Shimon, even when the wall was up, you could have carried in between a karfif and the chatzar. Now that the wall is down, why would the karfif become usur? Oh, to which the Gemara says, listen to this. You know, when a wall falls down, remember again, a wall occupies space. Wall occupies space. So we'll say, so now when the wall falls down, there's that extra space that the wall occupied. The Gemara is suggesting that space now is considered to be part of the karfif, which means if you to begin with had a karfif that was exactly two base sa'ah, when you add in that extra width of the wall, what happens? You have more than two base sa'ah. Once you have more than two base sa'ah, carrying inside of it becomes problematic. Damar chista, karfif shenifratz b'milo l'chatz. Well, this is an interesting case. If you have a karfif that was totally breached into a chatzar. So what's the halacha? So we'll say, so in this case over here, if you could imagine, just the easiest way to imagine this, we'll say, is the chatzar is wider than the karfif. So the wall falls down in between the karfif and the chatzar. So the karfif is totally open on one side to the chatzar. The chatzar is not totally open, though, to the karfif, right? I'm sure there's a picture of this. All right, so we'll say, so again, if you're going to get the pictures, Amir Tzashem, so this is going to be picture... This is going to be picture 156. So you could see that I'm sorry, 155 actually. 155. So the karfif, the wall, so essentially you could imagine it that the karfif essentially is perpendicular to the chatzar. So when the wall comes down, the karfif is totally open on one side, but the chatzar is not. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? So karfif, so chatzar amutaris, the karfif asr. So the chatzar is mutar. And the karfif is asr. Why is that? My taima. The isle gifufe. Because we will say, the chatzar at least has, gifufe, we will say, means like pillars. Or as you look at the picture, you'll see when the side is open, the chatzar at least has the remnants of the wall on the side in which it is adjacent to the karfif. The karfif, on the other hand, has nothing. I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, the iko gifufe. V'ilav hachi asri ahadadi. K'rabbanim depligei d'Rav Shimon naktula. B'she'ein afratzei yisir al eser amai naket. As well, so it's the idea over here is in this case, the karfif will be aser, the chatzar will be mutter, because the chatzar at least has the gifufe, the leftover pillars from the ends of the wall. So the Gemara says, v'hazimnim d'mishkachas le'epcha. But I don't understand. You could easily frame that case in the reverse. So we'll say that case in the reverse is picture 156. So in the case in the reverse, again, you could see where the karfif opens up. So the chatzar is totally open. The karfif has what we call the gifufe, the two pieces on the side. So what's it going to tell me now in this case, so you can't carry in the chatzar, but you can carry in the karfif, to which the Gemara says, Ela mishum da'aminan, ze aver mechitzos miyasro, ze ein aver mechitzos miyasro. Rather, what we have to say is as well. Let's take a look at Rashi. Ze aver mechitzos miyasro. The karfif yitor ka asrole. Yitor b'makom mechitzas. We'll say, what do you have to say? Here's the fundamental difference. We'll say, when the wall comes down between the karfeif and the chatzar, so we'll say one thing happens, which is I'll call it just square footage that's added to the karfeif, the square footage that's added to the chatzar. And we'll say, now let's assume for a moment that the square footage is attributed to the area where what? Well, say differently. When you add on square footage to a chatzar, does that impact the chatzar at all? And the answer is no. Well, see, when it comes to chatzeros, there's no din on how big or how small it can be, right? That din of size is dafka related to karfeif. So here's the problem. When the wall comes down, and therefore more square footage is added to the reshuyos, as soon as the karfeif becomes bigger, it becomes usur. Because remember, the case in question that we're dealing with over here is a karfeif that is already exactly 2 beisa. So it's very simple. As soon as the wall comes down and there's extra square footage available to be attributed to the karfeif automatically becomes aser because it is larger than 2 beisa. So Gemara tells another case. Ha'u bustana, da'ava samich leguda da'apadna. So let's listen to this. There was a bustana. Rashi says a bustana is a pardes, is an orchard. Davina to a tree orchard, right? An apple, whatever it is. It's an orchard of trees. So we'll say the bustana ultimately again was next to the wall, samach laguda da padna, next to the wall of a mansion. So we'll say, look at Rashi, Davi samach laguda da padna, vihi haisalo hekif ladira. So let's listen to this. So essentially, and again, you can see this also, I don't think you need a picture of this really. Well, it's going to be picture 158, but it's not 158 just yet. It's 158 with an exterior wall. So I'll say, so you have essentially an orchard that abuts a mansion, abuts the wall of the mansion. So the wall of the mansion served as an enclosure for the karfeif, for the bustana, for the orchard. So I'll say, so now what happened? So nafal ashisa baryasa da padna. So I'll say, so the exterior of the wall of the home now falls down. That's picture 158. So the exterior of the exterior wall of the home falls down. So Rabbi Yehuda Meimar, lismoch. So we'll say, so now what's the problem? So now, of course, the problem is that halacha lemaisa. So the karfeit, the bustana, is no longer enclosed. So we'll say, so says the Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda Meimar, lismoch aguda gaviasa. So Rabbi says, it's not a problem. Just rely on the interior wall of the mansion. I will say, again, you could look at this on picture 158. Although there is no exterior wall to the mansion, halacha lemaisa, the mansion still has its interior walls. So those interior walls should be enough to go ahead and cause it to be enclosed. So we'll say, listen to this. So Amar le Rav Papa said to Rav Bibi, Mishum da'asi mimulai, amrisu midimulaisa. Because you come from truncated people, do you say truncated stuff? So let's say we've seen this, which is a bit of a shtach. Rashi says, "Mimi muloi mikutam," literally truncated or cut off people. Mi beis eli da baye avod rabibim beis eli asekidarim meseches Rosh Hashana mulai sekitos praglaim. So listen to this. So Rabibi was the son of Abaye. Abaye and Rabba were descendants of Eli. Eli HaKohen was cursed that his male descendants will die young. So I say. So remember, interesting enough, the Gemara says, but yet there were descendants of Eli who lived long lives. The Gemara attributed that too to their Torah, to their Chesed. So essentially, comes along Rav Papi and says to Rabibi, what kind of answer is that? Right? What kind of ridiculous idea is that? That you should use the interior walls of the home for the karfeif? So because you come from truncated people, you say truncated stuff? To which the Gemara says, very simple, Hanach mechitzos legavai abdinan, lebrai lo abdinan. The interior mechitzas, Rabosai, were made to serve the interior of the home, were never made to serve the exterior of the home. And because they were never made to serve the exterior of the home, therefore what? Therefore, halacha lemaisa, they cannot serve to go ahead and close the karfeif. So we'll say, so bottom line, look at Rashi, lebrai lo abdinan, v'nehid depirtza leka hekev dira, mi'alesa rapardei stavi yosher be'sasayim. So we'll say, so therefore again, because those interior walls were never halacha lemaisa made to enclose an external area, therefore halacha lemaisa, this is considered to be an unenclosed karfeif, that was more than 2 beisa, and therefore halacha lemaisa, one could not carry inside of it. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this last case, Sahih Abornika, Emirat Hashem tomorrow. Shkar HaChavosai. Yeah.